to the Tulsa Music Stream. And now, your host, Scott and Jana Squires. You want the dirt? You've got it.
Welcome to Tulsa Music Stream. This is episode 107. Yep, that's right, 107.
Awesome.
We will be joined with Sean Perry. He's front man of the Four Horsemen as a tribute to Metallica. And they will be here
Friday, May 31st, next Friday.
I can't wait. But anyway, he will be joining us here just shortly. We'll be on Tulsa Music Stream. Make sure you friend and follow our pages and our YouTube, subscribe and hit the notification bell. We're also on Twitter and Twitch, and we're on all the podcast platforms like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and so many more.
Everybody, welcome Sean Perry to Tulsa Music Stream. He is from the Four Horsemen. Oh. How you doing, bud?
Good. Finishing my chicken, getting chicken out of my teeth.
Hey, you can leave it in your teeth. We don't care. We're not going to judge you at all. Guys got to eat. It's no problem. I was telling everybody about this show. I'm going to go ahead and put the flyer up on the screen. I want people to get the visual representation here. This is the show coming to Tulsa next Friday, May 31st. It is the Four Horsemen, a celebration of Metallica. As I said, please go to stubwire.com, pick up those tickets. Guys, $25 for a show of this quality is a great price. So pick those up. Doors are at 7. Show is at 8 that night at the Venue Shrine at 112 East 18th Street here in Tulsa. Sean, I'm curious, have you ever played Tulsa before?
No, we have not. This will be our first time getting out to Oklahoma. Excited to do that. We're going to be doing Texas, Oklahoma, and Missouri on this run that's coming up. We're doing Grinders and Heritage Park in Munster for I think it's a volunteer fire department fundraiser on first. So then we're coming to you guys. I think what is that before? Yeah, I think you guys are the 31st, right?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I pulled these show dates off of your page there. You've got 3 shows this week before we get to see you next Friday. You guys are going to be in Michigan, Connecticut, and Massachusetts this week. And then you're in Leesburg, Virginia on the 25th. And then you come here. So we're really looking forward to that. Now, I'm curious. Well, tell our viewers who haven't had the pleasure of seeing you guys yet, and maybe this is going to be their first experience seeing the Four Horsemen, give us an explanation of what the fans can expect to see, not only set list wise, but presentation wise.
You want me to reveal my set list secrets? I get a lot of people who ask me, oh, what's the set list going to be like this week? I'm like, it's Black and Back, 1991 back to 83. That's what you get.
There you go.
I like to mix and match the sets around a lot when we're out on the road, just to keep things interesting for people, because there are people who have traveled and followed us around, kind of like Deadheads, and they know every song that we're going to play on a certain set list. So sometimes I'll call an audible or two, and just keep people, guessing about what's going to happen. But we are the nation's. I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. Are we allowed to swear? I just did.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're free. Go for it.
All right. Okay. I get a lot of shit for this, but we are the nation. We're the only Metallica tribute that plays it note for note as closely as possible to the album and how it sounds, not just playing the note like mechanically. We play it with the feel and, you know, the down picking and the screams and all of the double bass and all the crazy drum fills and the solos that are blistering. Everything is done to the album. There's a lot of bands out there that say, well, you know, there's all these other tributes that play what you guys play. Right. I get it. I get it. We fight with tributes in every city, but when people see our show versus their local tribute band show, then they understand, oh, okay, this isn't even close to what we were thinking it was going to be. So I grew up on this music. This music was something that saved my life as a young kid. I had a very broken childhood, abusive household, and I fled to music and drawing as my escape from the world. So it actually aggravates me when I hear people playing Metallica poorly. And I'm like, why would you get on stage and have people expect to clap for you and expect to be paid. You should be doing, you know, these people, here's my motto with when it comes to fans and any show we'll ever do. It has always been this way. My father put this in my head. He said, you never half-ass a show. Those people are the most important people in the room.
Yes.
It's not the rock stars on stage. It's not the sound and light guy. It's nobody except the people who spent their time more valuable than their money, always more valuable than their money. They can always make $20, $25, $50. I don't care what the cost of the ticket is.
Yeah.
You never get that time back.
Right.
And my job is to make sure that when we're on stage, they're smiling, they're blown away, they're having a time of life, they're reminiscing back when they were 18 and had the demo No Life to Leather tape. I want people to, kind of like when you're at a movie, you suspend your disbelief and you just get into the zone of that movie. That's what our show is all about.
Excellent.
You know, being a tribute band, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of things that go into it other than just, like you said, learning everything note by note. I mean, you have to, you know, almost take on their personalities, the characteristics of the band, how they move on stage and all those things. What are some of the more challenging songs that you've guys had to put together?
Well, I don't study Metallica live. When you say, you know, we have to do their moves on stage, we don't do their moves. I don't look like James. I'm 5'10", about 150, soaking wet. James is like 3'6", 3'6", 4". You know, none of us look like the people. I get a lot of them. Oh, you don't look like him. I know, and I'm not going to get plastic surgery either. What we do, though, is it is a high energy start to finish show, and we don't sit there with our thumb up our ass. We don't sit there like we just got off of work and we're tired. I have played with a broken foot. I have played with pneumonia. I have played the day after my fiance years ago left me and took my house. And it's like, the people don't give a shit what your problem is. They came here to be entertained, and that's your job. Mm. So my take on this, again, like the movie thing, is I want people to be excited, and you don't excite people with your thumb up your ass standing around playing these shows. If you watch our videos, so look at the live videos on our Facebook from this past weekend. Look at the For Whom the Bell Tolls. When we headbang, our entire body is headbanging. You see people headbanging out in the crowd, and they're doing this stuff. That's not headbanging. And when you're an entertainer, when you're a fan, headbang however you want. You paid to be there. But when you're an entertainer, you know, it's like a person told me years ago that I'm really good friends with. He's very big in the industry. And he said, remember, it's big movements. If you want to be on stages where you're in front of 100,000 people, and there's people, 300 to 400 people back from the stage, do you think they're going to see this?
Right.
They're not going to see that.
Right.
He said, when you put your fist in the air, your whole body gets into the motion of what you're doing. So I've been taught just by watching other people's mannerisms on stage and by listening to people who are professional, I mean, top tier people in this industry, saying, you need to be the show. You know, just because you're playing the music, that's not the show. The show is wrapped around how do you connect with the audience. And there's so many bands out there that just don't do it. Right. I joke with the audience. If you watch when I'm singing, I'm constantly making faces. I'm like storytelling. Whatever the lyrics are going on, just watch the mannerisms in my face and the things that I'm doing and whatnot. I'm really trying to connect with the audience because I love doing it, for one. And two, you know, after 18 years, I still cannot wait to play Enter Sandman or For Whom the Bell Tolls, all of the stuff that I think is easy, but I see other bands can't even, it drives me nuts. That's why they all hate my guts, because I'm not one to hold my tongue. I don't bite my tongue very well. I'm like, if you think you're a professional and you get on that stage and you slop through it, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show you how to do it.
Well, you said 18 years. When did you first notice like it was started to pick up steam? You know, of course you started this, but enough for you were you to go, okay, I need to start taking this on the road. I need to get me, you know, some guitar techs and things like that. Let's get this thing actually moving forward. When did you first notice, okay, I think it's time to
take it up a notch?
Yeah, take it up a notch.
Well, I'd love to have a guitar tech or a stage crew or sound guy or a light guy, any of that stuff. We are four guys that go out in my van and my trailer, and we do everything. I wear all the hats. So when you say, when did it start? It started when I, 2007, I was approached by this band. They had different members at the time. They were a bar band. They played maybe five shows a year. I was in IT. None of this was on my head. I owned my own IT company. And I was happy with my life. I made oodles of money. I made so much money. All I did was work on servers and stuff from the comfort of my own home, logging into other people's networks. So it was like 2007. They approached me and said, "Hey, you know, we lost our front guy. Heard you can sing. Can you play guitar?" And I said, "Yeah." You know, I wrote my own albums back in the early late 90s, early 2000s. I was out touring on my own stuff. And they said, "You know, would you be interested to do something like this?" And I said, "Dude, I love Metallica. I would love to get into a Metallica tribute and just fart around with it." So for like the first 3 or 4 years, I had short hair. I wore gigantic pants. I had my guitar that's sitting over here behind me, which is just a Jackson Soloist. And I didn't give a shit. I was just having fun playing five, six shows a year. And, at that point, my only priority was I was tired of being a starving musician. I was tired of, I had a foreclosure. I had a repossession. I lost my first fiance. I lost two fiancés, but that's another story. But I was so broke and so just desperate to eat that I cut all my hair off. I went back to school at 32 years old, and I got into IT and said, "Screw music. I'm done with music." Mm-hmm. So when this came to me, in 2007, I was actually in school, night school. I was working full time during the day, work and going to school full time at night to get my computer networking degree. So, right, you know, 2007, I didn't take over until around 2013. Like, I was in the band, I was giving ideas, you know, and things of that nature. And I bought a couple of cabinets and whatnot, but I really wasn't pushing until probably around 2013. I started to see that, you know, there was a demand for a good quality Metallica tribute. So I said, well, maybe I could take the concepts I learned on how to build an IT company and interject it into what I would do with music instead of just being a player. So that's when I started wearing all the hats, and it got to the point where I was booking a lot more shows than any of the guys even wanted to do. Mm. And so, you know, lineup changes and other things led to the current lineup that I have now. But it didn't transform until probably around 10 and a half years ago, when I just said, there's a market for this, and I can grow this. And so I started reaching out all over the country, just looking for an email or a phone number or some venue or a promoter or anybody that I could find. I didn't have any connections. I didn't know anybody. All I was doing was IT. So I started from literally nothing. And now if you saw the people that are in my phone, you'd probably shit. Yeah. I've got people in there that I grew up listening to that are my friends. And I'm like, holy crap, you know, like Joey Belladonna. I went and had dinner with him on his birthday this past year. And he was like, "You want to go write a song?" And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
He was at the machine shop in Flint, Michigan on his birthday, singing in that Frontiers, it's Journey's tribute that he's singing.
Yes.
Awesome. He's phenomenal.
Yes.
The whole band is phenomenal. And we went out to dinner with him, and we're talking with him and whatnot, and me and my wife, and he's like, "Yeah, he goes, do you ever get to itch anymore?" Because he knew I was in the Metallica tribute. He goes, "You ever get to itch to write anymore?" I said, "Joey, I still write. I don't put it out, you know." And he goes, "You want to go to your house and write a song right now?"
Wow.
He goes, my show tomorrow got canceled. He goes, "I got nothing on my plans." I'm like, "Dude, that would be phenomenal," because I love Anthrax. It was like one of my favorite bands when I was a kid. So from just the desire to want to put it out there and to want to be an entertainer. And I love entertaining. I love people smiling and singing along and clapping and everything at the shows. That fueled the desire and the drive to get out there and just say, you know, there's a better product, you know, because at the end of the day, I can brag all I want about how, wow, we're so great, blah, blah, blah. Go to the show. The show speaks for itself. The product speaks for itself. I've got offers. They're coming in from Europe. I've got offers. I just had an offer from Israel. I'm like, I don't want to go over there right now.
Wow. Jeez.
You know, but it was crazy. This guy's like, you know, I want to bring you over to Tel Aviv. And I'm like, yeah, it's a hot spot in a bad way right now. Like, I don't want to go, but I mean, I'd love to go,
right,
but not right now. You know, and the whole Europe thing with Ukraine, it's kind of put a damper on things. Cause I have contacts that want us over there. And it's like, I just don't want to do it right now. So we're staying here in the States, you know, I've got new management. Actually, my manager is one of my idols. When I was a kid, bass player of Tesla,
Brian Wheat.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah.
He's become a very close friend of mine in the past few months that we've been together. I was just down in Florida helping him with some houses, and hell of a guy, very, very friendly, easy to approach. And he's definitely a guy who knows his way around the business. Mm-hmm. He's very good friends with James Larsen Kirk. One of the first things that happened too, which is kind of crazy. All I wanted to do, the way I met Brian was through Joey DeMaio from Manowar. Mm-hmm. I am very good friends with Joey's sound man. And I had talked with Joey. Joey wanted to do something with us right when COVID hit. He had like 12 shows booked for us in Finland, and then the whole world shut down. So that all went to hell, and Joey started writing an album, and then he got Michael Baccio in the band, and he's doing great. But I asked him, can I come into your studio and do some promo work? And he said, I got somebody else that might be able to do it because I'm writing an album right now. And so he gave me Brian Wheat's number a week later, and he goes, yeah, here's a guy for you. And I said, why do I know that name? And he goes, yeah, think Tesla. And I'm like, holy shit. So I didn't ask Brian to manage us. All I asked Brian was, can I get some studio time?
Yeah.
I wanted to do some little snippets. I actually wanted to do 5 songs. We did 5 songs, and I wanted to do some snippet stuff for promo work for my videos that I put out on Facebook, Instagram. I pay for every show. I do paid advertising for every show, wherever we're going to be at. So, he said, yeah, you know, why don't you guys come in? And we'll record whatever you want to record. So I recorded, and he's like, wow, you guys can really play. He goes, I want to see a show. And he's like, where are you playing next? And I said, well, we're playing at this place called Penn's Peak. Have you heard of it? And he goes, no, you're not playing there. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And he goes, how did you get that gig? And he goes, Tesla plays there. I booked Tesla there. And I'm like, well, the owner of the place called me and said, I've seen your band for years. You guys have been growing. He goes, I want you out here. So Brian's like, I'm bringing some Metallica friends. I want them to see your show to tell me if, you know, you guys are legit with this thing. He goes, because I don't know. He goes, I'm friends with them, but I'm not a Metallica head. He goes, I want to bring some people. And I said, bring them, you know? And so he brought his friends out. And after the first set, he come up to me and during the break, and he goes, let's talk tomorrow. And he goes, he had like a 4-hour drive home from there, which was crazy. You know, if a Tesla co-founder is coming to my show, 4-hour drive. I was blown away that he would even show up.
Wow.
So he's like, I want to talk to you tomorrow. He called me the next day, and he goes, you know, I was really on the fence about this. He goes, I talked to Metallica's manager and their agent about you guys. And I was like, oh crap, are we in trouble? And he goes, no, they don't care. He goes, I was asking him, should I, you know, is there going to be a problem if I manage you? And he said, they said, no way, everything's cool. So he's like, after I saw your performance, I want to manage your band.
That's awesome.
He goes, I absolutely want to manage your band. He goes, I'm going to put you all over the earth. And I'm like, holy crap. Okay. So Brian is heading things up. He's got TKO Agency booking us now.
Cool.
There's like 3 agents that are helping with our schedule. And, you know, they're getting acclimated to the tribute world because Brian told me flat out, he goes, I do not manage tribute bands. I don't want to manage any other tribute band. You are the only band I'm going to manage. And I'm like, well, why are you managing us if you don't manage tribute bands? And he literally said, because you're fucking badass.
I'm like, so cool.
That's awesome. Like, so if I have the support and endorsement of Tesla's co-founder, bass player,
yeah, that's a good sign.
It would behoove people who have never seen us, come on out, stop out, check out the show.
Sure.
If not, your friends will tell you about it.
Yeah, it's cool that you mentioned Anthrax, Joey Belladonna. What I always thought would be so cool is like have like 4 of the best tribute bands and just kind of have the best Slayer tribute, best Megadeth, best Anthrax, and do your own, you know, big 4 tour, you know, in the United States. And just go to the clubs and the cool like indoor, you know, bars and stuff like that, and give us like up. It'd be cool, man.
It's funny you mentioned that, because during the 2014, 2015, 2016, and I think 2017, I was the Dave Mustaine of a full fledged Megadeth tribute, as well as the Horseman. I was double duty, and Wow. And there is some video out there of me doing that, and people are like, "Oh my God, your voice sounds exactly like Dave Mustaine." And I love Megadeth. I love singing Dave's voice when he was younger and stuff. I realize, you know, I have more of a Dave Mustaine voice than I do a Hetfield voice. It's easier for me to sing Dave Mustaine when I do the Hetfield voice. You know, I try to get the dynamics of his voice, mm-hmm. and the nuances and the screams and the guttural stuff. But when people hear me singing, I still get people come up to me who have never heard me sing Megadeth and go, "Man, you would probably do really good doing a Dave Mustaine." And I just kind of laugh. So like, you know, they have no idea, but it's just fun for me. But I love that. That's always a compliment to me. I actually call myself James Mustaine sometimes when people are.
That's funny.
You recently did a Megadeth song, Sympathy for Destruction, at one of your shows just recently, right?
And Sweating Bullets. Yeah,
that's right.
Nice. We might. I like to throw it in there for people. I try to educate people, because there's always people out in the crowd that had no idea that Dave Mustaine was the first lead guitar player of Metallica. And I'm like, you know, as the night gets older, sometimes I'll tell people the songs get older. And so when we're in the middle of the set somewhere, I might just say, you know, let's do a little homage back to the original lineup. You know, I don't have Ron McGovney, but does anybody remember the first lead guitar player Metallica? And you know, you'll get like a dozen people, "Oh, Dave Mustaine." And I'm like, "Yes, that's correct, Dave Mustaine." And he formed this little unknown band when he got kicked out of Metallica called Megadeth. People get a kick out of that. And I was like, "How would you know, we got any Megadeth fans in the house?" The whole place goes nuts. And I'm like, "All right, let's do a little something for Dave, you know." And so, you know, for me, I mean, I hope that they get along. I don't know what the relationship is now. I had heard there was some speak about between James and Dave about maybe possibly doing something together, but that stalled, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, which would have been really cool, because Dave is phenomenal. I mean, his writing has just gone up and up and up for years.
Yeah.
And when Dystopia came out, I mean, I bought the album, I bought shirts, I went to several different concerts. I flew to Vegas to go see him when Chris Adler was playing drums with him, and I did the meet and greet. Oh, it was just incredible, you know, because Lamb of God's another huge band for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, you know, like I said, this whole thing, what we're doing is as close to the album as possible, with as much energy on stage as possible, and it's all about the fan base. I don't play songs from anything past 91 right now. Brian wants me to. But most of our fans, like, I have to listen to what people are asking me to do. So, like, before you had asked me, like, what's one of the harder songs we had put together to play? Damage Incorporated, Blackened, Dyer's Eve, Fight Fire with Fire, Battery.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And I've put all of those in one set. You know, I get, you know, people are like, how do you do that? I'm like, we live it.
Yeah.
So here's something that I guess... You know, there's a couple of tribute bands out there that I have the utmost respect for. The Pink Floyd, the Australian Pink Floyd tribute. There's just something. Those guys, it's note for note. It's feel for feel. It's like you're listening to the album. There's a band called Get the Lead Out, Led Zeppelin. They don't look like them, but listen to them. Holy crap, you know, they're really, really good at what they do. And so, like, when I was doing this, I just kept looking, you know, you can look on YouTube, you can look on Facebook, you can find all kinds of Metallica tribute bands. And I was like, I was looking through and I'm like, wow, nobody's even trying. Like, you know, if it's a really, really complex part, like if you listen to Fight Fire with Fire, during the chorus lines, listen to what the drums are, look at the stuff that Lars wrote. Nobody can play it. There isn't one drummer out there besides mine who lives this stuff. And that's the difference, is that those bands I mentioned, those two bands, they're always playing. We're always playing. We almost did 100 shows last year. And then people are like, well, yeah, well, my buddy's in the Metallica tribute too. And I'm like, and I look on there, oh, what's the name of it? Oh, it's so-and-so. And I go onto their site and I'm like, yeah, they did 15 shows last year. Mm. We did 15 in 5 weeks. So here's the difference. When you want open heart surgery, you want the guy who does 15 a year, or you want the guy that does 150 a year?
Right.
You probably want the guy who's a lot more versed in his craft. And that's the difference with us. Now, does a lot of shows equal you're better? No, absolutely not. You could play every week and still suck. But, you know, when you're getting praise from people in the industry, when I'm getting praise from Joey Belladonna, when I'm getting praise from Joey DeMaio, I'm getting praise from Brian Wheat, I'm getting praise from people who are legend in this industry. I'm not getting praise from my buddy down the street who's a right. drunk and goes to our shows because, you know, we're 5 minutes down the road.
Yep.
That's the difference between what we do and what a lot of these other ones do. And you know, I make enemies every day because I talk. I don't hold back. If you suck and you're on stage, you probably shouldn't be. Because if I'm at your show and I see all that stuff, I'm going to point it out.
So I have to ask you something. We've spent about 20 minutes with you. It's very obvious that you are a guy committed to excellence and you do not tolerate anything beneath that. You mentioned lineup changes earlier. I want to know how difficult it was to find three other guys with your matched level of intensity and intolerance of anything less than excellent.
Oh, boy. I mean, the last lineup I had before this one was very good, but the dedication to it was not there.
Okay.
And when I got those offers from Joey to go to Europe, two guys quit. The only guy who stayed with me was my drummer.
Wow.
And unfortunately for them, that I, in my opinion, was a bad move because we have done nothing but just soar after them. Because I said, okay, now I have to start over. It's COVID. I'm not stopping playing.
Right.
So my drummer and I were in my basement every week during COVID, every Saturday, playing the entire set. Don't care if it was 4 hours. And I put ads out on Facebook and I had a kid reach out to me. And I say kid because he's 21 years younger than me. And he sent me a video and I put on Facebook, like, here's what I'm looking for, blah, blah, blah. And he reached out and I said, you know, you're going to have to send me a video of a playthrough. And I want to see solos, obviously. So he sent me a video of Disposable Heroes, which is another one that we do. And when I listened to him play the solo, I was like, this kid gets it. Like, he's playing it like he wrote it. And we get that compliment a lot. We get a lot of people that's like, man, you guys play this stuff like it was your material. And I'm like, well, how else do you play it, man? You people deserve the best show you can possibly get for the $20 or whatever it is. I'm not going to hold back from that. And I expect excellence, like you said, from all of the people. So when I interviewed the kid, I brought him out. He's from Pennsylvania. He's a worker. He's polite as all hell. Obnoxiously funny when we're in the van on the trips. And when I ask him to do something, he already understands. I want it done note for note, and I don't want you fucking around. You know, there's not going to be an improv. We are not whoever. Right. We are not even playing our own music. So we're going to respect the music and play it the way it's supposed to be played. So he had a friend who was playing bass, I think, who actually even maybe have shown him my ad. I'm not sure. But he brought his, he said, hey, I a buddy of mine, I know you're looking for a bass player. And, you know, I said, can he sing? And he goes, yeah, he can sing really well. And I said, okay, well, why don't you bring him out? And so the bass player came out. And he was good. He was a finger player, which I do. I prefer finger players like Cliff. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't that big of a Metallica fan at the point. He was just looking to do some work. And so, like, he kind of sat around like bump on the log at practice. And I'm headbanging like it's show. And I told him, I was like, I just don't think it's going to work, you know. And so we stayed as a three piece, and every week. For months we were jamming, and you know, things were starting to open up. It was like May 2021, and my drummer and I were talking, and he goes, dude, why don't we get that bass player back, see if he wants to make a little money, and we can get our lead guitar player, Luke, get his feet wet, you know, get him on some stages, because neither one of these guys had ever played a real show. Wow. Ever. Mm. They live in Indiana, Pennsylvania, Indiana County. So like it's farm, and they don't have, you know, I think my bass player has been in like a band with his brothers, and they played like little, you know, corner stages in a bar.
Right.
They had never played the kind of shows that we play, where there's thousands of people in front of you and you're on gigantic stages and all this stuff. So we threw them to the fire. Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg, Virginia was the first show that we did out of COVID, and I think it was May. And what I had done for months before that show was I said, you come to my house, you come downstairs, you take your shoes off because you're not getting dirt on my carpets, and you act like you're playing in front of thousands of people. Because when I get you on stage and you've been sitting here in a chair playing along with us, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to headbang.
Right.
You can only do, you play up to your weakest level. And a lot of people don't realize what I say when I mean, if you practice at half speed and you want to go full speed when it's time, you can't.
Right.
Because you don't know how, and you will fuck up. And sure. I've seen bands do it. I've seen bands try to do what we do, and it's just kind of hilarious. And I was like, man, you've never done that before, have you? Where your head bang, but your head almost hits your knees, your head banging so hard, and you're still playing the riff. And it's like, yeah, it's not as fucking easy as it looks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've actually, you know, I've banged my head against my guitar before. I've pulled my hair. There's been all kinds of things. But when you practice like you play, it doesn't matter. I mean, right. I've swallowed half of my hair during practice. So when it happens during the show, it's like, whatever, just keep going and sure. pull it out real quick and go. There's so many weird things that happen during the course of the show just because of how violent we are on stage. I don't know how else to put it. It's yeah. just a very violent show.
Sure, yeah. sure.
So you
people
say
think
that
I'm pissed off when I'm playing because of all the faces I'm making, but I'm just fucking into the music, man.
Right. You bet, man.
If it's nothing else matters, probably not going to get very many pissy faces. But if it's Disposable Heroes or Fight Fire, yeah, you might want to.
It's like, on.
Is
yeah.
mad or something? What's going on with this guy?
So
I just get into it. I live it.
You guys are firmly on about playing the Black to Back albums, the songs that from that era. Do you ever think that you guys will go beyond the Black? And yes, that is a Metal Church reference there for you.
Yes. Yeah, I love Metal Church too.
Do you think?
Yes, we will, because Brian wants us to. And, you know, Brian's been in this business for over 40 years, and he knows what works. And he had asked me right off the bat, are you against doing this? Because, you know, Metallica's not just five albums. And I said, I know. I said, I understand that. I said, but when I got into this band, I told the original lineup, I'm not playing songs that I don't like. That's it.
Yeah.
So like it, you know, Mama Said and Two
King
by
Nothing.
Four. Yeah, King Nothing is all right. We tried King Nothing. We did it. I did King Nothing, and I did Fuel, and I did Whiskey in the Jar with those guys. And we did Cyanide from the Death Magnetic album.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not trying to piss off Metallica or any other fans. When we did Cyanide, people walked away.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to play songs where people would rather go take a piss.
Yeah.
I want people to piss themselves. So we're going to do songs that are older, songs that really sing to people, songs that really connect with people. So I started putting up posts on Facebook saying, what do you guys want to hear? Damage Inc.,
yep.
Dyer's Eve, Fight Fire. And I'm like, okay, the current lineup cannot do that. So, you know, it was like, well, we're going to do songs that are on the same albums as those. But once we got the second lineup, when I got my drummer Drew in the band, there isn't one song he can't do from Metallica. Mm. And I mean, he took a month to learn Damage Inc. because he counted out all of the sections. And he's like, you have no idea all of the nuances and the different timings that this song is prancing around. He goes, this song is intense. And I'm like, well, dude, if there's anybody I trust to do it the right way, it's you. I said, which really sucks, because now I have to learn it the right way, or else we're not going to line up. Because when I was a kid, I thought I knew how to play Damage Inc. I was playing it so wrong. I'm like, oh my God, I got to start all over again. So that song really, that song kicked our asses. However, I will say, which is very surprising, when we played Damage Inc., crowd response hasn't really been all that great. Huh. So unfortunately, all the work we put into that song, I haven't had that song in the set for probably 2-3 months.
Wow.
But Dyer's Eve, people love it. Fight Fire, Blackened Battery, Disposable. You know, we do Escape. We will do Motor Breath. We'll do the stuff that, you know, I mean, James Hetfield hates Escape. He was forced to write an extra song. It was, I think it was supposed to be like a radio type tune. He wrote Escape. Yeah. He said he wrote it in like 5 minutes. He hates the fucking song. I think the song's great.
And yeah, I love it.
A lot of people really like that song. So I'm like, well, I can sing it, you know, and he's only played it like, I think once ever live.
Wow.
I'm like, that's a shame. So we get people asking, well, can you guys do Escape? I'm like, yeah, dude, we'll do Trapped Under Ice too. Fuck it. Yeah. You know, I want to do the stuff people want to hear. We don't do any of the instrumentals yet. We don't do Call of Cthulhu. We don't do To Live Is To Die. And, and my bass player is working on Anesthesia, because we've gotten some people asking. But you know, it's mostly songs that have lyrics. A lot of people really, and I'm one of these people too, like I gravitate toward the story that's going on in a song. I want to hear like, what is the lyricist trying to say here? Metallica is very good at it. James, especially, very good at giving you a song where you could take it and apply it to multiple scenarios in your life.
Now, I know this is a business. You guys are on the road a lot. And do you get some family support and everyone, you know, there at home? You know, I know you recently lost your dad. But, you know, you get a lot of family support with you out there and doing this thing, and then you come back home and you got to go back out there again. Is it kind of hard on everyone out there there in Ohio?
I think it's hard on any musician who does it at a pro level. You miss graduations. You miss kids' birthdays. I mean, I don't have any children. I have four nieces and a nephew, and I've missed most of their growing up, you know, because it's been 18 years and none of them are 18. They're all, I think my oldest one is going to be 15 or 16 in November. Mm. But I missed a lot of time with the family. You miss, my father died, I was 12 hours away. I was playing a sold out show. But, you know, weddings, funerals, anniversaries, birthday parties, get-togethers on a weekend just for the hell of it. Like my little brother and I, we play video games together. You know, we'll call each other and leave the phone on for hours while we're playing video games together. That's my time with my little brother. You know, my other brother, he lives in Jersey. He's going to be moving to Michigan. I'm in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I'm born and raised here with him. But I miss him. But it's like, you do what you can, you know. We'll text. We have a group text with my whole family. My family's been supportive. They were very scared when I started to take this seriously back in like 2013. Cause I started my IT company in 2010. And before that, I mean, I wish I was just broke. Like I said, I had a foreclosure, I had a repo. I lost my first fiance. I had $50,000+ in credit card debt. I had no idea how to pay it. My older brother came in and said, I got your bills. I will pay all this. Don't you ever do it again.
But
I paid him back every penny. It just took me about 15 years. But you know, when I started this business after the IT company was successful, my family panicked. They were just like, what are you doing? You have everything you'd ever need, you know? And I was like, yeah, I know, but I don't feel fulfilled. I don't have a passion for fixing servers. I'm good at it. Yeah, I can set up a Microsoft Windows network with Exchange Server and all that stuff. I can do everything. But it's just like, money's not everything. And you're like, yeah, but you never had any. I'm like, I'm all right. I'm all right. You know, everything's fine. I mean, honestly, I had like 36 IT clients and I was making about $1,000 a month per client. Hmm. So I was making buco bucks. And now I make way less than that. I mean, not even close to what I was making with the IT company, but that's not the point of living. The point of living is not to just make money. I want to live to enjoy my moments. And I tell my whole family that after we lost my father, I told everybody, it's like, I'm out on the road a lot, but I'm just a phone call or a text away. And I want to engage. I want people to be happy. I want to have some type of time. So, like, my time to talk with family is like Monday through Wednesday. And that's like my weekend. So I go to work on Wednesday nights. Like, we're leaving tomorrow night to head to Connecticut. Then I go to Massachusetts and I go to Virginia and I come home. I'm not going to be home until, I don't know, some late Sunday, something like that. So, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is my off time to do that stuff with the family. But they have been supportive, to answer your question. I'm sorry, I do ramble a lot.
That's all right.
They have been supportive. Once they saw how serious I was with this, I mean, I took the concepts of that IT company and I sat at this computer for 12 to 15 hours a day,
Ugh.
researching venues, finding promoters, finding agents, and said, if I'm going to do this and shift how I make my money, I have to take it seriously. And I cannot rely on anyone else. There's a little saying, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And that's how I live my life. I do not rely on other people. I'm very impatient. I do not, complacency and patting myself on the back has never happened, never will. There's always work to be done. There's always a better show to play. There's always something I screw up. I get people saying, "Ah, yeah, you sounded like crap in that one song. Your vocals were breaking." I'm like, "Did you listen to the rest of the set? Because I fucked up every song." There's always something. When you're singing, playing crazy riffs, trying to get the grit in your voice, remembering the words, trying to headbang, I'm gonna fuck up. It's just, you're not gonna notice it if you're the average person. If you're sitting there focused on me, you might catch a thing or two, but you're not gonna catch all the things I catch. I am my own worst enemy when it comes to this stuff. I beat myself up after shows. I'm like, man, you should have done better. People are coming up, "Oh my God, you guys are phenomenal." I'm like, thanks. Because I'm in a bad mood. I'm like, I fucked up this or I fucked up that last night and it shouldn't have happened. And so I have these things on my mind. Every time I go into a show, it's like, kick ass, do the best you can because these people deserve whatever the best you got tonight. That's it.
Listen, Sean, I want to commend you. We want to commend you for your commitment to excellence and your dedication to your fan base. Anybody who watches Sean talk and thinks, well, that guy, he's pretty confident, isn't he? He's doing this for you all. And it all stems back to that. He doesn't want you to come out and watch a half-assed product. I personally appreciate that because you're right. The money is hard-earned. People expect a good show. You guys are giving them top level quality entertainment. We commend you for that. And I want to, excuse me, I want to put this up on the screen one more time. Guys, everybody in the Tulsa area, we need you to go get those tickets at stubwire.com tonight for next Friday, May 31st at the Venue Shrine. These guys are bringing it to Tulsa. And Sean, I didn't get to tell you this at the start, but Scott's in my band has the privilege of opening for you guys that night. So please don't come out there and watch our shitty set, okay? Just. No, man, we have a good time. We'll be covering. We'll be bringing a batch of heavy tunes that night. We are excited to warm up for
Is it
y'all
all?
That night.
Is it all original?
No, sir. It's all cover. We'll do
It's all
stuff
cover.
like, Priest and Wasp and
Except
stuff like that. So
all
it'll be
right.
fun.
Well, the only thing I say is do it to the best of your ability. That's
Absolutely.
what I tell every band when they're like, "Well, what advice would you give?" I'm like, if I'm in any show, I'm always watching, see, is this band giving these people a show, or are they just like kicking it around on there just waiting to get paid and have a beer? Because there's no do-overs, man. When you know this, you always have new people in the crowd never seen you before. You get one shot to make a first impression. So yeah, that we are going to bring it, and it is going to be, I mean, what, $25 is a cheap night.
Absolutely.
Especially with the mindsets of our bands, it's like, look, we want, you can never get your time back. I'll give you, if you're unhappy, I'll give you a discount at the end of the night. How's that? Everybody's gonna come up and be like, "Ah, I want my money back." But no, I will not sit there and stick my thumb up my ass and expect you to clap for me. I will not sit there and half-ass any of the songs and expect you to have a good time. Right. I will play my freaking ass off, as will my whole band. And afterwards, we will come out and shake hands, sign pictures, to autographs, whatever you guys want to do. We are very accessible as well. We are not rock stars. I will not vanish into the back room. I'm usually one of the first ones to jump off the stage and run up to the front, wherever the merch is, to shake hands as many people as I can when they're leaving, just to say thank you.
Well, we're looking so forward to meeting you and hanging out with you that night. It's going to be a blast. And thank you again for what you're doing out there. You're doing it right, and you're setting the bar for everyone else to follow. We'll see you in Tulsa next Friday. Thank you, Sean Perry, for your time on Tulsa Music Stream. Tonight, you have a great night and travel safe, okay?
You guys too. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, awesome, buddy. We'll see you then.
Great talk.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I like that guy. I think he does it right. I know that seems intense, and you know, sometimes people, you got to understand there's a difference between, and you can do your band however you want. You can do a cover band where it is about jamming with your friends and drinking beer and having a good time. And you know, there are tons of bands that are successful with that formula. But when you decide to do a tribute band, and you really want to do it right, you have to match that intensity level that he's talking about to really give the people what they're paying for. So props to Sean Perry and the Four Horsemen.
Sometimes having a good time is doing it right.
For me, it is. I mean, I guess everybody's definition of a good time is different, and it's all how you want to approach it. So to each their own.
Hey, thanks, Dale.
I love it though. I love his attitude.
Dale Thompson in the chat room says, great interview. I'm actually going to try to make this show. Cool, man. Okay. D Compton says, rock goddess Jana.
Recording in progress.
Dax Anderson says, Sioux Falls, San Diego, South Dakota could use your show. The Shrine Rocket Science Rules. Ron Pitt says, awesome way to watch TV. Jack Stovall says, I like his way of thinking. Cool, man.
Yes, and we have an extra treat for you guys tonight.
Let's Zeppelin. I'm in the mood.
Man, he is so cool. I said, dude, please just stay flexible. Kind of watch for the other interview to end, and when you see it end, then we'll get you in here. And he is prompt, Johnny on the spot. We're going to get him in here. Mark, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Can you hear me, Jana?
I can, and we're going to bring you on screen. Are you ready to say hello to your people?
Give me just a second. I want to give myself a little bit better background, because the one I've got is one that's got me kind of looking, I don't know, a little weird.
You're okay.
I want to do something that's got me a little bit more Zeppelin-y.
That is perfect.
There we go.
Now I'm going to bring you on screen. There's my man. How you doing,
that
Mark?
Works good. Oh, I am doing splendid. How you doing, Janet? Scott, what's going on?
Great. It's been a while, and Mark, we're so glad to get caught up with you. I'm so glad that you reached out to me and told me what was going on. And let me flip my page, because I've got your notes after Sean's notes. So
I'm sure you listened to some of that interview, and you know, him being in a tribute Metallica, I'm sure there was a lot of things that he was saying that you were basically like, yeah, I can
relate to.
I
that.
Can relate to some of that.
Yeah. Did you catch that?
At least 95% of what Sean said about just the whole experience of being a tribute band, I can relate to on one level or another. Having been a booking agent myself for 8 years and booking a lot of tribute bands and booking all sorts of shows, really, and some major acts, a lot of minor acts, musical acts, comedians, etc. Getting to know that side of the business for as long as I have, and just being a musician, there's a certain stigma associated with being a booking agent. Mm-hmm. I'm really a performer, but learning that side of the business, and really as a manager, all the management contacts that I ever made over the years, and there were a lot of them. One thing that they all had in common is really what a manager really does. The core, most important thing is look after your contracts.
Yes.
That's what they really do, is they look after those contracts and make sure that you have everything you need, that you're protected and legally, and that, and of course, you know, agents and promoters and of course, publicists, they, you know. So yeah, I could certainly relate to a great deal of what Sean was saying.
He's
it was an interesting interview. Yeah,
he is a professional, and you know, there are a lot of folks that, And I get it. There are a lot of folks that can't hang with that intensity level. But when you're so committed to your craft and so committed to your product, you really just have to set that bar high. I mean, that's what sets you above everyone else who is kind of just half-assing it, you know. And we know with your tribute band, you guys certainly do not half-ass it either. I want to talk to you. I know it's been a long and difficult ride for you guys in Led Zeppelin since the passing of your frontman, Robert Stewart, back in 2021. We're going to get more into that in a moment, but I'm going to put a picture up on the screen. Well, first of all, let's talk about, you guys have a really important show coming up. I'm going to put this on the screen here. June 1st at the Venue Shrine. This is the night after the Four Horsemen show. Doors open at 7 mm-hmm. that night. Your show's at 8. And you're doing double duty that night with not only with Led Zeppelin, but your other band, Rock Anthem. Tell us a little bit about this show. What can the fans expect at it?
Well, this, thank you for asking. Rock Anthem is a band that I've been in since actually when Led Zeppelin was still, you know, before we lost Robert. Rock Anthem, I played with Jonathan. Jonathan English and I go back 25 years and played in different bands together. And
I know him well.
Tom McPherson. Yeah, Jonathan's a wonderful guy, good, really good friend. And Johnny E, as they call him. And then, of course, Tom McPherson is a bass player who I know from where I work, and also just he's a good friend and very solid. And then Drew Nichols, who recently, just in recent years, moved back from California. Now, Drew played with the Graham Coulton band, and he's still does play with the Graham Coulton band from time to time. Drew plays with a lot of different tributes and that sort of thing, but Drew is with Rock Anthem, and Drew's a good friend, and he is an absolutely exquisite guitarist. I mean, Drew is one of Tulsa's finest, no doubt there. And so we really enjoy, with Rock Anthem, the formula is we do songs that everybody knows, everybody loves, and especially everybody knows the words to. That's kind of our thing, is what can we get the crowd to sing along to with us? And that's kind of our formula. And so reason why I wanted to put Rock Anthem and Led Zeppelin on a show together is, for one, I wouldn't have to worry about the other drummer wanting to use my kit or not.
You're so smart.
I have some pull with the other drummer, if you know what I mean.
A little hidden agenda there.
I gotcha.
A little bit. Well, and Tom McPherson was like, why don't you do a Rock Anthem show with the Zeppelin kit? I've been using a Yamaha kit, you know, a big, we're Rock Anthem, right? We're not Pop Rock Anthem or Yacht Rock Anthem or Small Kit Anthem. No, we're Rock Anthem. Use a big drum set, right? So that was kind of a good two birds with one stone opportunity. But also, people haven't seen Led Zeppelin in 3 years. Mm. And so I wanted to put them together because, I'm in both bands, but they're all my friends. And I wanted to really, it just seemed like the perfect thing to do. And a great lineup. So Rock Anthem will do the songs from, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s, stuff that people know the words to, and then Led Zeppelin will come up and perform the Zeppelin tunes. So that was the whole idea there.
You know how so many bands, you know, the big iconic bands, they go out and they do these anniversary tours and whatnot. But so a lot of times they'll do, you know, front to back, they're some of their big albums, and they'll do the entirety of this album. You know, would it be kind of cool to see like a tribute band of one of these iconic bands to do an album in its entirety? If you had to choose an album to do in its entirety of Led Zeppelin, which album would you choose?
That's an excellent question. I'm glad you asked that, because we actually did do that a few years ago. We did that one time. We played the entire Houses of the Holy album, start to finish. And that was our first. And then we did a brief little acoustic interlude and then did, you know, the rest of the well-known Zeppelin songs. But we actually did that. And we'd always had in mind, maybe on a different show, because we never do two shows that are exactly alike. Mm-hmm. We always change it up. Zeppelin had about 80 some odd songs in their total catalog. And of course, live versions, of course, that some of which we do. The idea to do the entire Physical Graffiti album has come up, or to do all of Zeppelin 2, or Zeppelin IV was really only 7 songs.
Yep.
You know, just to do various to do that. So we actually pulled that off with Houses of the Holy a few years ago when Robert was still with us. And it went over very well. And it was really fun, especially to play the crunch, because that's an odd meter song that you just know they were listening to James Brown at the time, and they were probably, who knows what they were doing. But, you know, that level of inspiration is really fun to pull off live, especially stuff, especially songs that they never actually did live, like Jamaica is one. They never played that song live, or that record. They never played Live and Love and Made live either.
Yeah.
But, you know, being a tribute, we kind of do a mixture of live cuts on The Song Remains the Same, the 1976 album release of the movie soundtrack, not necessarily remaster. There's reason for that, but we like those arrangements a little better, the way they were cut. And then certain songs, you just want to do the album cut. And so this is why, and we're not the only tribute to do this. We use auxiliary players off stage. For example, we have Tom Hanford, who's another legendary, one of Pulse's finest guitar players, playing off stage. So he plays rhythm parts and dubbed parts so that we can adhere to the fidelity of the album cut with the dubs. We use a separate keyboard player in Peter Deladernier, another fine, fine Tulsa player, along with Brian Henderson on bass. He was original John Paul Jones bass player who played with us for 14 years, and he's back. So, yeah, nothing's changed there, except that we're just really excited to be back and looking forward to expanding our catalog even further, or our repertoire, one might say, even a little further than we have in the past, which has been about 45 of their 80-some-odd songs, about half of everything they ever released on record. We're looking to expand that now, and there's good reason why, but I can get to that momentarily.
Yeah.
Well, tell us more about the person that has stepped in to fill Robert's shoes and how the band is coming back together after facing such a tragedy, yes, losing Robert.
It was an extremely arduous 3-year period of mourning the loss of our friend, and we never gave up the search, though. At times it seemed pretty bleak. At times it just seemed we were never going to find anybody to fill that role. And then, but we never gave up. We always felt like this is something special that's worth keeping the faith and just sticking to it and not calling it quits, because we had a strong feeling that, first of all, Robert would never have wanted us to stop.
Mm-hmm.
He joined us 12 years into our career. You know, this June marks our 20th anniversary at this. And we've had lineup changes, sure. But Robert Stewart never would have wanted something that he'd spent five of the last years of his life, totally devoting himself to and working very hard. He would never have wanted us to stop just because it might have been, quote unquote, his time. That was the Robert Stewart that he was. And he was a good friend. And he absolutely dove headfirst into this and gave it everything he had. And we still miss him. We will always miss our friend. He was a wonderful entertainer. He's the kind of lead singer who shows up early and stays late and helps the other players with their gear.
Hmm.
That's not as common among lead singers, but nothing against lead singers. I'm just saying that's a unique breed right there. So, yeah, Robert wouldn't have wanted us to stop. You know, he would have said, guys, come on, keep this going. Do it. You were too good to just stop. So in March, I got a phone call out of the blue from an old friend of mine, Mickey Knight, who plays with Kota and Dress to Kill. And he was like, hey, Mark, Mickey, what's up? And he said, I think I can repay an old favor. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you remember back in 06 when you hooked me up with Greg Shipman and Dress to Kill to play Ace Frehley? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I think I might have found you guys a new singer. I said, really? Do tell. This guy his name is Bryn, and he is originally from Oregon. And he sang with numerous Zeppelin tributes out in California for 20 years or so or more, numerous ones, most of which I'd heard of. He checked out. And he lives here now. Wow. And he's got an incredible look. His voice is, let's just say when we got together, he exceeded even my expectations, and we all had high expectations. He certainly fills the role. He even improvs like Robert Plant. He sounds like him. He's got a great look. He's a really good guy, very seasoned, very experienced. And we're very lucky and grateful to have him with us. So, yeah, his name is Bryn, and I'll let his performance speak for itself. We are very excited about it, and we're just very grateful.
So take us back to the day that we lost Robert. I don't know what was going on with you. I don't know if you were at work or how you heard the news, but to our listeners that may not know exactly what happened to Robert, but what went on with you that day?
I remember receiving a phone call one evening from somebody I know saying that, and she'd down in Texas and actually heard about it in Texas. And I had not heard anything about it. Well, it had happened, you know, a couple hours previously. He was in an accident, a car accident on the Muskogee Turnpike. He lived in Muskogee. Mm-hmm. And he was on his way to rehearse with another musical act he was involved with at the time. Really good guys. And he was an insurance guy, so it's not like he was texting while driving on a highway. No. Not Robert. He never would have done that. I never got the full story of exactly what happened, but I do know that he was in a horrific car accident. His cousin was in the car with him. Mm. I was told that he was life flighted St. Francis Hospital here in Tulsa. I was deeply concerned. The rest of the band, I let everybody know. We were all really pulling for him and hoping for he was going to be okay. And then I got a call the very next morning saying that he had passed, and it hit us all like a ton of bricks. I mean, it didn't seem real. And then I thought to myself, you know, we're going to have things in common with the real Led Zeppelin, then we wouldn't want it to be one of our members passing. Right. And the whole thing was very hard to process. I think I'm 53. And I think as everybody ages, as everybody gets older, we all deal at some point with the loss of a good friend or a loved one. In my age group, we've all dealt with it in some capacity in one way or another. And it never really gets any easier. We come to accept it, you know, the stages of grief and all that. But, you know, it's something that we have decided collectively that we would continue in the direction that made Robert so excited about joining us in the first place.
Right.
And again, we were an act for 12 years before Robert even came along, and he responded to an ad. We were looking for a new lead singer then anyway. And he showed up, and, you know, he embraced the role, and we were so excited to have him. And we had 5 great years with Robert. I mean, people liked him. He was a very good entertainer, very solid. And then to just suddenly, just like that, lose him, that we do have in common with the real Led Zeppelin, that it was just not something we expected. It's not something we could initially believe. And we needed some downtime. We needed a hiatus at the time to just cope with the loss. Sure. And then eventually regroup. And knowing that we were inspired by his enthusiasm to certainly continue, and now it's like certainly well worth the wait. Robert's our friend. We'll always love him as our friend. But he would definitely want us to go on, and we will, if nothing else, honor his memory by doing exactly that.
Absolutely. Well, definitely remember the day that happened, and it, you know, it sends shockwaves across the you know, Tulsa music scene.
Yes.
And it, we definitely were in your corner now and then.
Yes.
And it was such a tragedy and such a huge loss, but at the same time, it was pleasing to see the Tulsa music scene kind of all circle around you guys and have your guys' back. And so I'm sorry that happened to you guys, but we're glad to see you guys back, and you didn't fold.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Mark, on a more uplifting and happier note, you know, beyond this June 1st show, what do you guys see on the horizon? Are you in the process of booking even more shows, I would assume?
Well, that's always on the horizon. Since we started, I've always been the one to do the bookings. Another area where I can really relate to what Sean Perry was saying is kind of wearing the many hats thing. And, you know, contacts from being an agent, I have always issued my own contracts for all of our big shows, fairs, festivals. Bike rallies are always a big thing for us. So certainly knowing that we're back in the swing of things, back in business again, we do have another lineup change, of course, a little bit of a new lineup, but that's great because it's new fresh blood and new levels of enthusiasm. We still love everybody who's ever played with us. There have been 17 total members of Led Zeppelin in the last 20 years. 17.
Wow. Jeez.
And the most common name among them is Brian. We've had multiple Brians. We've only had one Mark, one Scott, one Mike, one Tim, one Jim, one Tom, you know, one of everybody else. But we've had like four Brians in the band. It's pretty wild. I don't know why. It's just, if your name's Brian, you have greater odds of being a member of Led Zeppelin.
There you go.
Your name's anything else.
Send resumes to... MarkNelson.com.
That's funny.
That actually reminds me of something years ago. Neil Derrickson, who was our bass player for a number of years there. Now, he had to bow out for some health reasons, but Neil and I have always been good friends. And years ago, we were laughing. We were coming with the most insane band names ever one night. We were just laughing, slapping our knees. And one of the band names we came up with was a band name called the Todd Ensemble, where everybody in the band would go by Todd, and that's all. That's just their name, just no last name, just Todd. And we were going to call it the Todd Ensemble. It never materialized. Other bands like Delusions of Grandma and, we probably came up with 50 really hilarious ones that never were used or went anywhere, but that's what reminded me of that. Well, this is like, you know, the life of Brian, you know, the band of Brian's. Anyway.
That's
enough
awesome.
About that.
That's funny. Well, let's put this up on the screen one more time. Guys, make sure you go check out this show on June 1st at the Venue Shrine. It's going to be Led Zeppelin and Rock Anthem that night. Mr. Mark Nelson will be doing double duty on the drums. So make sure you go support both bands and have a great time that night. Mark, we just want to tell you how much we appreciate you. And like Scott said, we're in you guys' corner. We're pulling for you. Anything you guys need to help promote, you shoot it our way, and we'll get the word out there for you. And thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Jana, and thank you, Scott. The outpouring of support was something we'll never forget. We're looking forward to the evening on June 1st. Both Rock Anthem and Led Zeppelin play for the people of Tulsa. Come on out. It's going to be a fun night. We're looking forward. Thank you again.
Awesome, man. We love you, bud. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thank you.
Good night. You too.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. I love it. Love it.
Good show.
Oh, wonderful. Good wonderful. Show. Two great guys dedicated to their craft. We love that. We love that. We wish all of them well. So let's get through this quick. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bushed doing this back-to-back thing, but it was a blast.
And that's cool.
And we're going to get back to work on lining up some more episodes for you guys. Like we've been saying for the last two nights, please get your tickets at stubwire.com for the Four Horsemen, a celebration of Metallica. They will be at the Venue Shrine a week from this Friday, May 31st. Doors at 7, show at 8. Our band Rocket Science will be opening that night. Come out and let's have a great time. Make sure you show back up there the following night for that Led Zeppelin Rock Anthem show as well. DEB Concerts, thank you for your sponsorship of Tulsa Music Stream. Make sure you guys go to Rocklahoma. Check out Doug Burgess's stage out there at Rocklahoma. Such a great lineup. It's going to be a blast like it is every year. Again, we want to say thank you to our brand new sponsor, Pest Patrol. For all your pest control needs, call Todd Brannon at 918-582-7378. Also, a big shout out to our other brand new sponsor, Horizon Plumbing. For all your plumbing needs, call Andy and Angie and Elizabeth and the gang. Horizon Plumbing and Drain, call them at 918-258-9100. Thank you also to our other sponsors, Sycamo Filmworks, Shipman Photos, Oki PC, and Identity Merch. Remember, guys, you can get some Tulsa Music Stream t-shirts.
Yes.
Some hoodies for when it gets cold again. Hoodies. And you can also get tank tops if you go to the Tulsa Music Stream Facebook page. On the top left corner, our website link will lead you to our online store where you can get these threads. As Scott said at the beginning of the show, you can always watch Tulsa Music Stream live or the replay on YouTube, Facebook, X, and Twitch. We were about 18 subscribers away from the magical 1,000 mark before tonight's show. If people watching tonight will go over there and subscribe.
Subscribe.
On YouTube, we need you. We got to get to that 1,000. That's our first goal. So go over there. If audio is your thing, you can hear Tulsa Music Stream on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, and so many more. Thank you guys for another great evening. Ron Pitts, D. Compton, Dax Anderson, Dale Thompson, Doug Weber, Ron Pitts, Michelle Ingram, Chris Mizuno. I can barely see you. You're about scrolled off the screen there. But all you guys for watching tonight, thank you so, so much. We appreciate your support. What else you got, Scott, before I sign off?
I have nothing.
You got nothing?
I'm good. I thought it was a good double interview we did today.
It was.
Back to back.
It brings me back to the old days when we used to be on air for like 2 hours straight. And boy, those were marathons, weren't they? This was great, though. Yeah. This was just over an hour and it was perfect. So Cool. Thanks again to Sean Perry and Mark Nelson. We love you guys. And we sure love all you guys watching our show. Y'all have a great week. We'll be back very soon with another stellar guest. Take care and have a great week. Thanks for watching Tulsa Music Stream.
You guys take care.
Good night.